Paul, I mean, Paul was a wonderful, said, I have so much to, I don't have the time, the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. See, Gideon got his name in there. He had his name in there. Of Gideon, and of Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Wouldn't you like to get your name in there? And of the prophets, who through faith, notice what they did, who through faith subdued kingdom, wrought righteousness. Notice, they subdued kingdom. These were the nations round about, and some of these kingdoms were evil. And that's what we're doing. We're doing the same thing. I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. When Satan under your feet, but the saints of the Most High will prevail and take the kingdom. What are you doing? It's by faith. You see, we walk by faith and not by sight. So Gideon got his name in the Hall of Faith. Amen. His name is there, and he's high on the list. He got there with David and Samuel and Samson and Jephthah. And I'd like to get my name. No, notice Rahab got her name in there. I could go through the Bible and some unlikely people that you would not even think of at first, Rahab. But what did she do? You see, she hid the spies. Rahab hid the spies. And we could go through, and even others that, because Paul said, the time would fail me. It would fail him. If he was to mention all of the other names, he would not have time. So back in verse 30, what shall I more say? Verse 32, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and notice, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdom. And that's the way the kingdoms of the world will be subdued. All of the kingdoms of the world is by faith. Because the kingdoms of this world are to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. That's what's going to happen. All these kingdoms, we go back to as far back as you can go, Egypt, Syria, and all those, Babylonian, Medes, Persians, and Greece, Rome, coming on down. And we come to the final kingdom, which cannot be moved. And the scripture tells us now that there's a verse that tells us that we receiving a kingdom, God's going to shake everything that can be shaken. Right? Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But we are receiving a kingdom. What you're hearing, the word of God that you're hearing now, the kingdom word, that cannot be shaken. And the reason why nations are shaken, homes are shaken, individuals are shaken, churches are shaken, is because we do not have the message of faith. See, the kingdom message is a message of faith. The mysteries of the kingdom. And this kingdom is to be given to the saints of the Most High. And it says that the saints of the Most High will take the kingdom now and possess it. How will you take the kingdom? By faith. We have the layout right here in Hebrews 11, by faith. When Sarah could not, and Abraham was too old to have a child, and they knew it. In the natural, it could not be. But when it shall be turned to the Lord, okay, there's nothing impossible. Nothing is impossible, because when the Lord said to Abraham, Sarah was listening, your wife will have a child, she laughed. She doubted. And she was, because she knows naturally you could not have. She could not have it. But with God, you have to get out of the natural. Because the kingdom of God is not a natural kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. I mean, we will have a body. Yes, we'll have a body. We're going to have a body. But it is a spiritual kingdom. And the saints of the Most High God will take the kingdom and possess the kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom. And that's why you and I have to know the Word of God. We have to have the Word of God now, because we are in the kingdom called the church. But the church is not the kingdom. It's not. You're in the church, fine. You need the church. But the church is like a vehicle that takes you. It's a vehicle that takes us, or is taking us to the kingdom. You need the church to get to the kingdom. But the church will not phase, but phased out into the kingdom. See, because the church is the spiritual phase of God's work in the earth. But it's not in meat or drink, but it's in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So you have to have the Holy Ghost to be in this kingdom called the church. It's the Holy Ghost that puts you in the kingdom. Jesus told his disciples when they said, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the season, but you shall receive power. Are you with me now? But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, because for 2,000 years God was going to do a new thing that was not known, called the church. Praise God. It was going to establish a church wherein the Gentiles would be able to come in from out of the dark, out of the blindness, and out of the ignorance, the people that sat in darkness, that's the darkness of our minds, spiritual darkness, saw a great light. And tonight, we who were sometimes darkness, we didn't know anything about God. We were dark and ignorant and unlearned. And the things of God were strange to us. But there comes a light. A light came our way. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. And that light is Jesus Christ. And the light shineth in our heart. Shine in the darkness of our hearts. And now, we're not darkness anymore, but now are we light. We are children of light. We are like a city that's set on a hill which cannot be hid. Because that city is the church. She's a church that has the knowledge of God. It's a church that has the truth, that has the Spirit of God. And it's set upon a hill. The church sets upon a hill. Mount Zion is that hill. Amen. We are lighted, and God did not put us under a bushel, but he puts us on a hill where men can see the light. And the light that is shining in us is the true light. Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And that's why to get out of the category of the foolish virgin, because we were all foolish. We were all sometimes darkness. But it's the Word of God that translated us. See, God translated us by Spirit and took us out of the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness, and put us in the kingdom of light. Praise God. And Colossians, let me go to Colossians. I kind of finished with Hebrews right there a little bit. But go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse, somebody read that for me, verse 11. No, verse verse 13. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 says. All right, notice, did I say verse 13? Read verse 12 for me. Giving thanks unto the Father. All right. This is what we have to do. Give thanks to the Father. That's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we pray, say, Our Father. Giving thanks to the Father. Here's what He did for us. He made us meet. Are you listening now? He made us meet to be partakers of. So there's an inheritance. Because if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we would be among men most miserable. But there's an inheritance for the saints. So God has to qualify us and develop, help us to develop through Christ. Where we who were sometimes darkness, aliens, strangers, foreigners from the commonwealth of heaven. But now are we sons of God. Now are we light. Because that light of God, the entrance of His word, enter into our hearts and give us that light. Now the true light is shining. Once we were dark. Once we were blind. But now we see. Why are we seen? Because of Jesus Christ, who is the light. The light is Jesus Christ. And tonight you can have that light. I say tonight that light can shine in your soul, in your spirit. So God made us meet to be partakers. Notice, partakers. So you have to enter and feast upon it. You have to accept it. Partakers of the inheritance. Hallelujah. Oh, my eyes have not seen. And ears have not heard. You look around on earthly things and you go after it and lose your soul for that. But you've lost. You've lost if that's all you have is natural earthly things, because we cannot take them with us. But it says God made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So the saints in light, it was God who worked on them and they made it. Just like we look at the Hebrews 11 and those saints are in light. They've made it. That's why they're here. They made it by faith. So the Lord is showing us through the writer, that we also can make it. The race is still before us. We're running, but we're getting closer every day. We're nearer home today than we were yesterday. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are closer home than we were a year ago. Even yesterday. And it's no time to draw back, look back. And it's no time to throw your armor down and begin to drink from the river. And, you know, getting down and drinking in your own ways. And so, but you have to lap the water like a dog out of the hand of a ministry. You have to do that. And listen, when you begin to do that, you notice that you're not walking in darkness. Everything might look dark and the world cannot see the light. But you have a picture. And inside there you have a light. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God has put a light on the inside of you. And let me tell you something. You want that light shine out? Just like Gideon. Those men that followed him, they had to break the pitcher. They had to throw it down and broke it. And when it was broken, something happened. The light shone. And the world is looking for people that has light. But we've got to be broken so the world can see the light shining. Because the gospel is inside of us. The light of the gospel. And when you begin to be broken before the Lord, that light is going to shine out. And everybody's going to see that you've been drinking, but not by your own ways, but by a ministry has been feeding you. Like the early church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread. You can't do it by yourself. You take on an independent spirit. Amen? So, back in Colossians, it says that partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, verse 13 says, here's what he did for us. This is powerful. Don't read over it fast. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness. Under Gideon, Israel needed deliverance from the Midianites. We need deliverance from the devil. Gideon had to fight with a sword and a light. We need a sword of the word of God tonight. And we need a water of life. We need a river. And tonight, there is a river. Hey, there is a river. And the streams whereof shall make glad the cities of God, the holy places of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. God will help her. That's talking about you. God will help you as you walk to Zion. You're not by yourself. He's carrying you. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness. Boy, that's a power that you couldn't break it by yourself. You could not. You could not. The power of darkness controlled by the strong man. That's the devil. But a stronger man came. 2,000 years ago, a stronger man came to this house, to the world, and defile, bind, cast down, trample under feet, give us power over him. And he said, I beheld a devil, Satan, as lightning fall to the ground. And when he fell, we trample him. We tread on him. And Jesus rejoiced in spirit. Hallelujah. Why? Because Satan is cast down. Tonight, you've got power. And by faith, you can do it. He delivered us. Do you see that? Not going to. But he has delivered us. You've got to believe that tonight. That he delivered you right now, tonight, where you are. He has delivered you. It's not coming. It's right here. If you believe that, well, next week or when I get to be perfect, then he'll deliver me. Then you're giving Satan room to oppress you. Because Satan strives on unbelief. But by faith. Amen. By faith they subdued kingdom. unwrought righteousness. And tonight we are subduing like Gideon by faith. He subdued the Midianites. We're subduing the kingdom of darkness. And the Bible says, God had delivered us like Gideon was delivered from the Midianites. God had delivered us from the power of darkness. And he didn't just leave us. He translated us. Now that's powerful. He's not going to, but he has done it. He has translated us into the kingdom of his dear sons. I want you to back up a little bit. Let me go back to verse 12. Go to verse 12, the same. And we go up to verse 11. Where is it? Where he has delivered us from... Okay, he delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. Or delivered us from the power of darkness, which is the kingdom of darkness. Because Satan has a kingdom. But he translated us. Have you ever read where he translated anyone else? Where? Enoch walked with God, and he was not. God translated him. God took him. And that's what happened when you begin to, we're walking, we're heading to the kingdom. When you walk into Mount Zion, where you're heading to that glorious land, God delivers you and translated us into the kingdom. Notice, I feel like shouting, into the kingdom of his dear son. What is that kingdom? Huh? It's a kingdom without end. It's a kingdom that the increase of his government and power, there is no end. It's a kingdom where debt is swallowed up in victory. It's a kingdom where we will not hunger or thirst anymore. Where there's no sickness. There's no weeping, no wailing. Because the Bible says, the former things are passed away, and behold, I make all things new. Then John saw a new heaven. Are you with me now? And a new earth. Because the first heaven and the first earth is gone. It's over. And then you go on down, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death and hell was cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. We have a wonderful time coming. We have a bright future. We have something wonderful. That's why this message of the kingdom is so powerful in our hearts. We're not alone, but he translated us right now. Right now, by the power of the Holy Ghost. God separates us from the world. And we are sons of the living God. He translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. My. 14? Oh, that's it. In whom, look at it. In whom we have redemption. We were redeemed from the powers of darkness. We were set free from the kingdom of the devil by the blood. I said by the blood of Jesus. And we have redemption through his blood. Even. Woo, the forgiveness of sins. Who? Oh, shout. Look at this. Who is the image? Oh, you're not listening. Who is the image? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the very express image, the brightness, the glory of God. He's the image of the living God, the invisible God. Because God alone, before the resurrection, had immortality. God, And the Paul said, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory. And then, after Jesus died and rose, he also had immortality. But he didn't stop there. He says, here's what he said to us. The life, Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh. Are you not listening? When? Not at the... But right now, the life that I now live in the flesh, I'm living a life in my flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, there's a divine life that you have now, not when the trumpet sound, but you've got yours right now. You see, some people can wait, but you cannot wait. I want mine now. I want the life. Why not? Because Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and have it right now. And when Mary says, Lord, I know my brother shall live again at the resurrection. Jesus said, you're looking at him. Ain't nothing else coming. You're looking at him. Says that he that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Do you believe this? I just say, yeah, Lord, I believe. Hey, the Lord is wonderful. God has done a work. He translated us. He said, but how come I'm still going back to the same old water well, and because it hasn't dawned on you yet? The devil is a liar and he fooled you. My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Yeah, somebody can die and leave a will for you, but unless you read it and open it up, it lay right there. So Christ died and left a will and testament. Are you listening now? Here, don't let nobody fool you out of it. Don't let no one talk you out of it. It's yours. You belong to God through Jesus Christ. He's yours. Beloved, now. Now are we the sons of God. It doeth not yet appear, because we're going through the veil of the flesh. But don't forget, one day it's going to be gone. And I see a new heaven and a new earth. Before that even come, we'll have a new body. Amen. Are you listening? You're going to have a new body. Praise the Lord. You're going to have a new life. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Gideon got his name in there. By faith, Gideon. Remember, Gideon was poor, broke, hiding away from the Midianites. The least in his family. And when the angel of the Lord came to him, he says, you mighty man of God. I mean, you mighty man of valor. And he looked around to see if somebody else was standing there, because he couldn't be talking about me. I'm just kind of threshing a few little barley to hide it from the Midianites. And he was shaking. And to hear that, how many know God can turn the weak into strong? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Rise up as powerful men and powerful women, and let the word of God consume you. Don't just sit there all night after night and you're hearing and there's no action, but come alive in God. Don't let the devil put you in a box. I know in whom I believed. I know that he translates me. Do you know what that word translate means? Ask Enoch. Ask Brother Enoch. Don't ask me. Ask Enoch. God translated him. And what's going on in you right now? Something brand new, a new man. You're translated from darkness to light. We pass from death. That's what it says. We pass from death to life. Pass from death to life. Death is swallowed up. Who did it? Jesus. Jesus Christ came and drank the streams of death and hell. And the only reason why death hangs around is because there's rebels at the end of the 1,000 years. Death and hell is cast into, there's no more need for death. Amen. You've got to understand, Paul is shouting way back and said, oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, you're the victory. Huh? Paul was get all excited once he had a revelation. So you can wait and suffer and frown and wait. Go ahead. Waity, waity. But I don't like to wait. Wake up, wake up. So, there's something wonderful that's going on. God is a good God. When God quickens you by the Holy Ghost, let me tell you something. Ephesians says, you at he quickened. When did he do it? He quickens you who are dead in trespasses and sins. You see, there's a natural and there's also a spiritual. There's a spiritual quickening of the Holy Ghost. And that doesn't happen when you die. That happened before you die. He quickens you. When the Holy Ghost comes into your spirit, you come alive. Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. And that's why he gives us life. And then more, it goes on more abundantly. Death is not a friend. Death is an enemy. Christ came and delivered us from him that has the power of death. As by one man sin entered and brought death, even so by one man life, eternal life, resurrection life. So in closing, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That's wonderful. I was going to go to Judges, but okay, I'm forced to. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. I was going to show, you might as well do it, that when he says he's the firstborn of every creature, because if you understand now and follow and read what he's talking about, the firstborn of every creature, because when Adam sinned, okay, God starts all over again with a new creation. And even David knew it. So he says, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he said, can I enter into my mother's womb and be born? He didn't understand, like a lot of us don't understand. And Jesus says, no, that's not what I'm talking about. He that is born of the flesh, his flesh is flesh. But there's another birth. But he that is born of the Spirit. And that happened a new creation begun on the day of Pentecost. It was not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, the Holy Spirit's birth, the same Spirit that entered into Mary's womb. And the Christ and the Word became flesh is the same Holy Ghost that entered into your heart. And a new man was born, but Jesus was the firstborn of that new creation. There's a new creation, and he's the firstborn. Amen. Because the first Adam died. In Adam, we all died. And God starts over in Jesus. God began again in Christ. And he translates us. Hey, he translates us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Thank God I'm alive tonight. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. And I'm heading for the kingdom. So Gideon got his name in there. And they wanted to make Gideon, listen, all of the trees came to Gideon. In Judges, let me close with that. In Judges chapter 8, is it? When all the trees came to, you find that there. Judges 8, verse 823 says, they wanted to make Gideon, yes, the men of Israel said unto Gideon, ruled over us. But you have a dynasty. You and your sons, and let it. Because you've delivered us from the hand of Midian. So they want to reward him, make him a king. But you see what Israel didn't realize, that they already had a king. Because even blind Balaam knew when he heard the shout of a king among them in Numbers. So Gideon said, I'll not rule over you, and my sons will not rule over you, neither shall my sons. But I know who's going to rule over you. That's why Gideon got his name in the book in Hebrews. He said, I know who's going to rule. The Lord, he shall rule over you. But a little further in the 9th chapter now, in closing, find me that. In the 9th chapter, the trees in Judges 8, go to verse 9, is it? Verse 8, chapter 9, Judges chapter 9, verse 8. Let me go this so I can see. The trees. All right, remember now. It's a parable, whatever it is. The trees are people. And really, it's the nation of Israel. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king. Remember they just asked Gideon? The trees, the people? And Gideon refused. And they wanted his sons, and they refused. But he had another son who would not refuse it. So let me go on. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king. And this was Gideon's other son. Yeah, just a minute. Gideon's other son that Abimelech wanted to kill. But he ran away, and then And he came up with a parable, and he said, giving this parable, because he knew that they wanted to anoint his father, the trees, the people. In verse 7, look at verse 7. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, "Hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you." The reason because Abimelech had killed the other sons of Gideon and make himself king. Very beautiful. And verse 8, so now Jotham was on Mount Gebal. Remember, you have two mountains, Gebal, Ebal and Gerizim. Now, he went on the Mount of, I think, the Mount of Curse. And then he said, the trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, "Reign thou over us." But the olive tree said unto them, "Should I?" No, notice it. I already have a ministry. I'm appointed by God. I'm doing a wonderful work. I can't leave. "Should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man and go to be promoted over the tree?" He said, "No, I can't do that." See? I can't do that. But notice that these were corrupt trees. They didn't want God. Are you listening? These were corrupt trees that did not want God, that rejected. The Lord told Samuel, "Don't weep for them," said. And he gave them Saul. He said, "They have not rejected you, they've rejected me." They were corrupt trees. And God gave them a king. And the trees said to the fig trees, "Come thou and rule over us." The first one, was it the olive? Turn it down, then the fig tree. But the fig tree said unto them, "Should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees?" No. Then said the trees unto the vine, "Come thou and reign over us." Remember, there was already a vine. "Come and reign over us." And the vine said unto them, go back. And the vine said unto them, "Should I leave my wine, my wine of the Spirit, the blood which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees?" Now, the wine cheereth God and man. Here's where you and God unites. The Holy Spirit. His Spirit bears witness. The same Spirit that makes you glad makes God glad. So when the Holy Ghost come down in your midst and you're happy, God is happy. Then said, notice here, when you miss God, you'll accept anything. Then said the trees unto the bramble, "Come thou and reign over us." You know what a bramble is? A little scrawny. Hebrews 6 call it thorns and thistles. Says, the bramble said unto the trees, "If in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon." Now, you know a bramble doesn't have any leaves or branches to take a shade. And that's what happened. The other men, beside the 300, they were rebels. They do what they want to do. Kneel down to any gods they want to. But there were 300 men that loves God. So the bramble said, "Come and trust, put your shadow in me." You know, when you light a little bramble, it... Pfft. Say, let fire come out and devour the cedar of Lebanon. The cedar, you know what a cedar of Lebanon, a powerful cedar tree, type of the house of God, the people of God, Israel. Now therefore, if you have done truly and sincerely in that you have made Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, for my father fought for you and adventurous life, that's Gideon, delivered you out of the hands of the Midian, But you risen up against him. And you made made Abimelech king because he had killed the sons, 70 upon. That's a beautiful verse. Next verse says, if he have dealt truly and sincerely with Jerubbaal and with his sons, his house this day, then go ahead and rejoice in it. And let him also rejoice in you. Go ahead. If you're doing right, you turn against the church. You fought against the church. You take sides against the church. Then you feel good. Go ahead and do it. But this is what's going to happen to you. But if not, let fire come out. That's why a lot of people, when they take sides, they're burnt up. Or they can run away and go to other churches, but they're burnt up. You don't have any joy. Don't have the zeal. Don't have the knowledge. God doesn't joke. And he said, well, all right, go ahead and rejoice and go ahead. And you might rejoice for a few weeks, but after that you get drier and drier. And you lost your zeal for God. You lost your taste for God. Go ahead and rejoice in Abimelech. But verse 20 says, closing. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Milo. And let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech. You know what's going to happen to the devil? Read it in Ezekiel. God's going to cause a fire and burn him up. You know what happened to the devil in church when he tried to come into the church? God put the fire. God put the Holy Ghost. And when the devil comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God lift up a standard and burn up every work of the devil. And just at the end, Jesus Christ is going to consume him. Consume him and cast him into the lake of fire. Amen. Give the Lord.